Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're celebrating the votive Mass of the Holy Eucharist with the prayers and the readings, some of the readings from the Mass of Corpus Christi, which we will celebrate this Sunday. In the United States, the Feast of Corpus Christi is transferred to Sunday. In the rest of the world, in the general calendar, the feast is actually today. Today is the Feast of Corpus Christi because, of course, Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist on Thursday, right? He rose from the dead on Sunday. That's why Easter is always on Sunday every single year. But he instituted the Feast of Corpus Christi, of the Holy Eucharist. He gave us the gift of the Holy Eucharist on Thursday, and therefore throughout most of the world, or in what's called the universal calendar of the Church, we celebrate Corpus Christi on Thursday. In the United States, the U.S. bishops have chosen to move it to Sunday because it's a holy day of obligation, and U.S. Catholics are too weak to go to church more than once a week. So on that account, the U.S. bishops, trying to avoid mortal sin, have moved it to the Sunday. It seems sad to us. But in any case, so it is. We, however, because we're the parish of Corpus Christi, we have the joy of being able to offer the votive Mass of the Holy Eucharist on today's feast. So that's a great joy for us, to be able to offer the votive Mass of Corpus Christi, the votive Mass of the Holy Eucharist today. So again, I want to just comment on a few of the lines from the Lauda Sion, which is the sequence we'll hear. Just a few, as you can see, it's rather long, but just a few lines. And really, this prayer, this sequence, it was written by St. Thomas Aquinas at the request of the Pope. It was written specifically for the Eucharist and for the feast for today, for the feast. And St. Thomas wrote this hymn out of love for the Blessed Sacrament. And the hymn is filled with the theology, all that we believe about the Holy Eucharist. Much of it can be found in very beautiful poetry in this hymn. You know, some people think St. Thomas is dry. They say, oh, the Summa is dry, or St. Thomas is dry. And that's not true. The Summa is very exciting, actually. It's not dry at all. It's quite wet. But second of all, the hymns that he wrote are just beautiful poetry, extremely beautiful poetry. So he was quite a creative mind. He was no mere dry student by any means. He was quite the poet in his own right. So I'll read and then just make a few comments as we go. It's good just to hear the sequence at least once before we come to the Mass this weekend. And this weekend's Mass the homily will not be very, very theological, so I want to at least give a little bit of theology today. Laud, O Zion, your salvation, laud with hymns of exaltation, Christ your King and Shepherd true. You know, just in case we forget, you know, laud just means praise, right? So praise Zion, your salvation. Zion there is the church, right? In the Old Testament, whenever you hear Zion, it's almost always a prophecy for the church, right? So laud, O Zion, we're saying praise church, you know, Church of Christ, your salvation, who is Christ himself in the Blessed Sacrament. Bring him all the praise you know. He is more than you bestow. Never can you reach his due. Special theme for glad thanksgiving is the quickening and the living bread today before you set. Notice that, the third verse there. The quickening and the living bread today before you set. Now the point here is to say the Eucharist is living bread. Right? It's living. Jesus is living in the Blessed Sacrament. But not only is he living, he gives life, right? The quickening and the living. So this is the point about the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist is not an object. The Holy Eucharist is not a thing, right? The Holy Eucharist is a living person, right? He's living in the Blessed Sacrament. He's not stagnant or static. He's very much living, and he gives life. So he is so full of life that he bestows life on all who receive him. And really, the entire Bread of Life discourse, from which we heard today's gospel, the entire Bread of Life discourse, John chapter 6, the last third of that chapter, where Jesus gives the great doctrine of the Holy Eucharist, the whole Bread of Life discourse, is just as much about life after death as it is about the Eucharist. Go back and read it. There's a reason why that was the hymn, that was the reading used in Christian funeral masses for over 1,000 years. There's a reason why that's the reading that was used at the funeral mass for over 1,000 years. Because the Bread of Life discourse is as much about eternal life as it is about the Eucharist. The quickening and the living bread. It's quickening because Jesus gives us life, and of course, living because he indeed is alive in the Blessed Sacrament. And in the tabernacle is a living person. He's alive. When the priest holds him, he's alive. He can listen to you. Right? He can hear you. He can answer your prayers. Okay. From his hands of old partaken, as we know, by faith unshaken, were the 12 at supper met. Full and clear ring out your chanting, joy nor sweetness, grace be wanting. From your heart let praises burst. For today the feast is holden, when the institution olden of that supper was rehearsed. Now that last line, for today the feast is holden, when the institution olden of that supper was rehearsed, that's the point that says Corpus Christi should be celebrated on Thursday, right? That's what that says there. Corpus Christi should be celebrated on Thursday. The U.S. bishops can certainly read it themselves. Here the new law's new oblation by the new king's revelation ends the form of ancient rite. Okay, so when Jesus gives us the Blessed Sacrament, all the old temple worship ceases. That's why we don't follow the ritual laws of the Old Covenant. Of course, the moral laws, we still follow it. Thou shalt not kill. We still follow it, but even those are brought to higher perfection. For now, we should not even be angry with our brother. Right? We do not kill him, but neither do we become angry with him. Right? Thou shalt not commit adultery, but neither shall we even have lust in our heart. Right? So the point being that, in fact, it's fulfilled at a much higher level. And then other rites, ancient rites, pass away. We don't sacrifice goats anymore because we have a much more valuable sacrifice offered here on our altars. So when Christ says, this is my body and this is the chalice of my blood, right there, the old covenant passes away. Right? Okay, now the new, the old effaces, truth away the shadow chases, light dispels the gloom of night, the same, right? What he did at supper seated, Christ ordained to be repeated, his memorial near to cease. Simply to continue celebrating Mass to the end of time. And of course, when the Antichrist comes and the end of the world draws near, the first major step towards the end of the world will be that the Mass will be outlawed. Right? The Mass will become illegal. And the Mass will no longer be offered publicly. And when that happens, the end is very near, right? And don't think it can't. It happened in Mexico, you know, not that long ago, within the last 100 years. It happened in Mexico. If it can happen there, it can happen anywhere, right? So when the Mass is outlawed, then indeed, the end of time will come soon. And his rule for guidance taking, bread and wine we hallow making, thus our sacrifice of peace. This the truth each Christian learns, bread into his flesh he turns, to his precious blood, the wine. Right? So the bread becomes the sacrament of his flesh, the wine the sacrament of his blood. So there's a particular reason why we say the body of Christ, and for the other, the blood of Christ. Because the one is the sacrament of the body, the other is the sacrament of the blood. Now, of course, the whole Christ, body and blood, is present in both. But in a very particular way, the one, by the power of the words, becomes body. And then, because in heaven, body and blood are united, the blood is also present. And the other, by the power of the words, becomes blood. And because blood and body are united in heaven, the body becomes present. Right? We know that. Okay. Sight is failed, nor thought conceives, but a dauntless faith believes, resting on a power divine. Now, here, just one more point. And I'm not going to comment this whole thing, don't worry. But just one more point here. Notice how the senses fail when it comes to the Eucharist, right? It looks like bread, it tastes like bread, it feels like bread, it smells like bread, smells like wine. But there's one sense that is not entirely deceived, and that's hearing, right? And hearing has always been associated with faith. fides ex auditu, right? Faith comes from hearing. So the sense of hearing, namely, we hear the gospel preached, we hear it, and we believe. So our sight fails us, smell, taste, touch, but hearing, we hear the priest say, body. We hear him say, blood. And so even though every other sense is deceived, the sense of hearing is to be trusted. Hearing alone can guide us when it comes to the things of faith, because we hear the words of Jesus echoed in the words of the priest. So not all our senses are laid aside, but trust your hearing, right? Trust what you hear. Jesus said it, we have heard it, and so we believe. Here beneath these signs are hidden priceless things to sense forbidden, signs, not things, are all we see. Blood is poured and flesh is broken, yet in either wondrous token, Christ entire we know to be. Again, the one is body, the other is blood, but the whole Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity are present in one, and the whole Christ, blood, body, soul, and divinity present in the other. So if you receive simply the host, as we do at daily Mass, you receive the whole Jesus, right? We do not need to receive under both species. The whole Jesus is present under either the host or the chalice, even the tiniest part, right? Whoso of this food partakes does not rend the Lord nor breaks, Christ is whole to all that tastes. Thousands are as one receivers, one as thousands of believers, eats of him who cannot waste. Bad and good the feast are sharing, of what divers dooms preparing, endless death or endless life. This is the sacrament of charity, the sacrament of love. Right? That's what the Eucharist is, the sacrament of love. But love is real. Love is real. It's not a sentiment. It's not an emotion. It's real. And because love is real, it demands the proper response. Right? Love has consequences. Love means life, or love means death. That's what love is. Love is either life or it's death. And if that love be eternal love, as it is in the Blessed Sacrament, if the love is eternal love, then the result is either eternal life or eternal death. Right? When we receive Holy Communion, we either gain eternal life or we gain eternal death. All the more important is to receive communion in a state of grace and practice confession regularly. Love is life or love is death. Eternal life or eternal death when we have an eternal love. Life to these, to those damnation, see how like participation is with unlike issues rife. When the sacrament is broken, doubt not but believe 'tis spoken that each severed outward token doth the very whole contain. Each piece has all of Jesus. Not the precious gift divides, breaking but the sign betides. Jesus still the same abides, still unbroken does remain. Lo, the angel's food is given to the pilgrim who has striven, see the children's bread from heaven, which on dogs may not be spent. Truth the ancient types fulfilling, Isaac bound, a victim willing, Paschal lamb, its lifeblood spilling, manna to the Father sent. Very bread, good Jesus, tend us. Jesu, of your love befriend us. You refresh us, you defend us. Your eternal goodness send us in the land of life to see. Right? We're speaking to Jesus in the Eucharist. We speak to him. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear you. He's just waiting. You know, he's waiting for you. We have to wait if we want to speak to a king. But here, this king waits for us to come and speak to him. Right? Very bread, good shepherd, tend us. Jesu, of your love, befriend us. You refresh us, you defend us. Your eternal goodness send us in the land of life to see. You who all things can and know, who on earth such food bestow, grant us with your saints, though lowest, where the heavenly feast you show, fellow heirs and guests to be. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.